All Saints' Day, in a way, can be confusing for us. It can be a confusing experience for the church in general. Some people wonder exactly who are the saints. As Lutherans, we know that in the most important sense, all people who are baptized and confess that Jesus is Lord are holy in God's sight. All of us Christians, then, are saints. Our churches often verbally recall the members who have departed to heaven in the previous year and rest from their labors. We will do that today during the prayers. But there are also people of the faith that deserve special recognition. The Book of Concord in Apology 21 suggests that it's helpful to remember the saints of God for three reasons. First, to give thanks to God. Secondly, that our faith would be strengthened by their example. And then thirdly, that we would be moved to follow their example of faith and virtue. All Saints' Day is a day that we do this, not only for well-known or hero saints, saints like St. Peter or St. Mary. There's a list of saints like St. Peter and St. Mary in the front of our hymnal, but also for our own departed saints, the ones that we personally know and remember. I considered for our sermon text for this morning the jazzy tune, When the Saints Go Marching In. There's something about that song and the Louis Armstrong's wailing trumpet that has left an indelible impression on most of us. But as I looked at the words to the verses to that tune, and as much as I wanted to be in that number, the New Orleans jazz tune just didn't deliver. What did deliver was our office hymn, Blessed Are They, based on the Beatitudes from our gospel reading from Matthew. So I've chosen the narrative from Matthew and the Beatitudes as our sermon text for All Saints' Day. And as we look at that text, we see that each of the nine Beatitudes with the word blessed or blessed. Sometimes there's confusion about what that term blessed actually means. Aren't capable, successful people the ones that are really blessed? Sometimes we think blessed equals lots of money, being rich, big houses, expensive cars. Or do we think about our fellow beloved Christians who have died? Are they somehow more blessed than we are? If they are, why do we mourn? And why does the Bible teach us that death is the final enemy that Christ will only fully overcome on the final day, when he returns in glory and reverses death, and we are raised bodily to everlasting life? The commentaries and the translations have a wide range of answers and definitions of the Greek word makarios, the word behind blessed. A simple word study of the New Testament shows that the Greek word makarios translated 48 out of 50 times to the word blessed. So what I would have to understand that it doesn't mean happy or fortunate or joyous, as some claim. Reading the verses that have blessed in them, it is clear that blessed is always associated with having faith. So those who are blessed are distinguished from those who are not blessed, because those that are blessed belong to Jesus. Those who are blessed have faith, and those who are not blessed have no faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So why is it important to make that distinction? It's a matter of the theology of the now, but not yet. We are blessed now, but we won't fully realize the extent of our blessedness until Judgment Day. We are poor in spirit now. In fact, there's no good in us at all. We can be rich in this world, but without Christ, we are still bankrupt. Christ came to this earth to take our debt of sin upon himself. 2 Corinthians 8:9 tells us that he became poor so that by his poverty you might become rich. Our wealth is being built up through faith in Christ by his forgiveness and in eternal life. You are rich in Christ with something money can't buy. Blessed are you who mourn, for you will be comforted. Martin Luther said that we are 100% saint and 100% sinner. It seems that he may have flunked simple math. We are 100% sinful and unclean, yet through Christ, through the waters of baptism, we are 100% righteous and holy. We struggle on this earth as we mourn the loss of family members, of friends, even material goods like the loss of our homes due to things like hurricanes, natural disasters, and the like. Yet Christ says to us each and every Sunday, your sins are forgiven. We are blessed through Christ because Christ entered death and destruction to give us life and salvation through him now and not yet. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I've heard that the rest of the world views the people in the United States as arrogant, as proud, that the world revolves around us. I think that's possible. I see it in the younger generations thinking that the world owes them something. But then we have a Jesus. We have a Jesus who humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. If we are to have that same humility and meekness, then we need to look to the cross. For it's on the cross that Jesus paid for our conceit, paid for our attitude of entitlement. There he was killed for our sins and raises us up, giving us his meekness, giving us his humility. In Revelation, John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, the recreation of Eden, God's perfect creation restored." Through the humility and the death of Jesus, he gifts you an inheritance of this new earth. Yours is that paradise through this humble Lamb. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. We all hunger and thirst for something, and we're never really satisfied, are we? The truth is that we hunger and thirst for sin, for evil. We have an attitude for lust. We feed ourselves with greed. We gorge ourselves with fame. We satisfy ourselves with hate. In the end, our hunger is not satisfied at all. Our thirst is not quenched. Rather, this kind of sinful hungering and thirsty leaves us parched and separated from God forever. But Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. How merciful are we? 100% saint, 100% sinner, remember? Our mercy depends on who is ruling the day, except when it comes to us. Then we expect mercy all of the time. Should God be merciful to us? Should he spare us? I think we all know the answer to that question. Amazingly, he showed us the ultimate mercy when he showed his only son no mercy at all. When he sent him to the cross in our place. But more than that, when he places his loving mercy in us, which we show to those around us. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'm sure you've heard this question from others, and maybe even asked this question yourself. Where is God? Where is God when I needed him? How could God let this happen? Let me remind you of our offertory in the words of Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. You see God in his word. You see God in his meal. You see God at the font. For in all of these, he cleans the heart. And the world now sees God, sees the heart of God through your purified heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Facebook and social media have led to a whole new sense of bravery, a false sense of bravery that didn't even exist 10 years ago. Add to this attitude that we can't have differing opinions and still be friends, and conflict abounds. And Satan smiles all day long until he looks at the cross. This war has been fought and won at the cross. Satan has been crushed and your death has been defeated. During Holy Communion, after the words of institution, the pastor says, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." In this meal, Christ makes peace with you. And this meal is the power for you to make peace with one another. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Many of the saints who have gone before us have learned this lesson. The world may not treat us well. Satan's hold may be getting stronger. The last day is getting closer. 1 Peter 4 tells us this. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange was happening to you. But rejoice, insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. We are blessed because as saints in Christ through the blood, suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, this glory is ours even now. Yet we will realize it even more fully on the last day, the now but not yet theology. For the day is coming, friends. The day is coming that has no end. We are truly blessed, not of our own doing, but because we have faith in the one who is worthy, Jesus Christ our Lord. And as catchy as the tune "When the Saints Go Marching In" is, our office hymn had such a better message, one based on the Beatitudes of Matthew 5. We are blessed because along with those saints who have gone before us, we can rejoice. We can be glad because ours is the kingdom of God. Amen.